You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with National MP Tom Rutherford.
Last week, the government's ban on wearing gang patches in public went into effect. The legislation was debated heavily from its inception, with some questioning whether it was necessary or raising potential human rights concerns. The legislation passed regardless. The annual COP29 talks also concluded last week, with countries discussing measures to reduce global emissions to reach climate change targets. The discussions bring about an opportunity to assess our national efforts to reduce emissions and make projections for our Paris Agreement targets. This week in our catch-up with National's Tom Rutherford, I speak to him about the gang patch ban and Aotearoa's emissions targets in light of COP29. So we've seen the gang patch legislation come into effect on Thursday last week. Just as a refresher for our listeners, what is the legislation and what is it intended to address?
Yeah, so the gang patch law was passed in Parliament a few months ago, and then it came into law on Thursday midnight, which means gang insignia is now banned in all public places. So courts will be able to issue non-consorting orders, and police will be able to stop criminal gang members from associating and communicating with each other. So effectively, this was something we campaigned on. We actually launched it in June 2022. So it's been out in the public sphere for a number of years, something we believe in quite actively in the National Party. And we think it's going to have, we've already seen fantastic results already, and the police have done an exceptional job enforcing the law as well.
Yeah, you mentioned the results already. If you could go a little bit into more detail there, how is the government, I guess, reacting to how it's gone so far?
Oh, it's gone so far, it has gone incredibly well. All credit to our New Zealand police. I've got a brother, for example, that's a police officer down in Christchurch, and they do an exceptional job every day. This is just another law for them to enforce, and they've done it so very, very well so far.
There were some concerns before the ban went into law about how it might affect workloads for police officers with some understaffing issues and high workloads there. Have those issues, I guess, or those concerns been addressed?
Yeah, they have. We've got a commitment to increase our police numbers by 500 over the next 2 years, and we're on track to do that. We've increased our police wings, for example, so that each wing that comes into the police college in Wellington can have 100 people per wing, which is great, meaning we can train more police officers. Yes, there's always going to be some different challenges in some different spaces, but the police have had a number of months to get adequately prepared for this legislation. They've had a number of meetings across the country with gang members and gang leaders as well, so that they were prepared for when the legislation came in as well, and they knew what they could and couldn't do. So definitely I don't think there's any issues in the space of the resourcing aspect around having officers in place to enforce this law, and it's now just ensuring that everybody plays their role and responsibility either as a public citizen or as a police officer.
There's been some reports from several high-profile gang members and leaders saying that they believe that the ban won't affect gang membership or activity. Is this of concern to the government?
Not at all, because at the end of the day, we're saying the free ride for gang members in New Zealand is over. They peddle misery and methamphetamine and other violent crime across this country. You've got to remember, they make up 0.25% of New Zealand's population, yet they're responsible for nearly a third of violent crime, firearms-related crime. For them to have earned the gang patch in the first place, they will have had to have been involved in some sort of misery. And you've got to remember, at the end of the day, there's a victim always on the other side of that. And actually, we're pretty unapologetic. We're putting victims first in New Zealand. And this gang patch law is one step to ensuring that we disempower our gangs here in New Zealand and actually say to them, no, victims are our priority in this country.
And then lastly, on the gang patches, I understand that point you've just raised, but there were also some concerns before the legislation went through about the human rights angle and how a gang patch ban might infringe on people's rights to freedom of expression and also the freedom of what they might have in their own home. Could you go into that a little bit?
Yeah, every piece of legislation that goes through Parliament gets a report done by the Attorney General, which says whether it's in breach of the Bill of Rights that each person has in New Zealand. And the Attorney General made a report that said the gang patch law could potentially be in breach of the Bill of Rights. What we said is actually for gang members to, in the first place, be able to receive their gang patch, they will have breached other people's rights. And so they will have breached the rights of those victims that they have enforced complete misery on, whether it's violent or sexual crime, whatever it may be. And so actually we're pretty unapologetic. You can't wear a gang patch in public anymore because we don't want to reward you for being in a gang. We actually think it's a terrible life decision. It's terrible to be part of gangs. And actually we think this is one of the solutions we can go about ensuring we restore law and order in New Zealand and put victims first as a priority.
Moving on to COP29, the climate summit this year, what is New Zealand taking away from this year's conference?
Yeah, the conference, COP29, has really helped us set a path towards greater cooperation between countries, meaning more renewable and sustainable projects, which is great, and ultimately lower global emissions. Our climate change minister, the Honourable Simon Watts, has been over there. We took a really lead role in the conference as well. Simon co-chaired negotiations with Singapore on international cooperation, and actually they did such a good job that they've been invited to do it again next year. So we have taken a lot away from COP29.
And if we're looking at New Zealand's Paris Agreement targets on those emissions there, what's the pace looking like on these?
Yeah, we as a government are fully committed to meeting our climate change targets. Actually, one of our 9 government targets, which we want to achieve by 2030, is to be on path to meet our net zero target by 2050, and also with net emissions of no more than 290 megatons from 2022 to 2025 and 305 megatons from 2026 to 2030. So we've got a lot on our plate in around the climate change areas. We've got a lot of work that we're doing as well, whether it's doubling renewable energy, targeting to have 10,000 public EV charges, reducing agriculture emissions by giving farmers the tools they need to lower emissions. I could go on and on, but we do really take climate change and our targets very, very seriously.
There's been some ongoing concern under this government about some changes that have gone through, removing the clean car discount and offshore oil and gas exploration, to name a couple. Is the government concerned that these might infringe on our ability to achieve these Paris targets?
No, not at all. You've got to remember the clean car discount was effectively the ute tax. So it punished farmers and tradies who needed to go about their jobs by purchasing utes to incentivise people to buy electric vehicles. You've got to remember New Zealand is proudly an agriculture and horticulture-built country. We really back our farmers and our tradies, so it wasn't a fair tax to impinge on people. We are serious about meeting our climate change targets, however. And as I've mentioned, we want to double renewable energy. We're going to bring in more public EV charges, reducing agriculture emissions by giving farmers the tools they need. And we've got a climate adaption framework to guide our future actions as well. So we are doing a lot of work in the climate space. We do take it really seriously, and Minister Simon Watts has been doing a fantastic job leading that portfolio of work.
That was the National Party's Tom Rutherford speaking about the gang patch ban and Aotearoa's emissions targets in light of COP29.
That was our weekly chat with National MP Tom Rutherford.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.